It's not about the technology, it is what you do with it. Welcome to Digital Dash. We are excited about the opportunities technology presents in our modern world, and we spend a lot of time tinkering with the use cases. Join us every week on our podcast as we share our findings and break things down into zeros and ones. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app, and enjoy this episode.
Subscriber identification model has evolved from its full credit card size when it was introduced in 1991 to a mini SIM, a micro SIM, and a nano SIM all over the years. Now, it looks like in an attempt to constantly reduce the size of the SIM, we've actually managed to wipe it out entirely to zero. Welcome the advent of what we call the eSIM. On today's episode of the Digital Dash podcast, Kwame Nai and I will be discussing our newly found joy in using this wonder of the 21st century in our smart devices. So let's jump right in.
Hey, still my friend, I am phone na do. Na ma fetch phone na we.
Me da ya fetch phone na do ma na chip na ko
fetch. Sha na chip na be na nu me be na phone na do.
So you might be asking yourself, what is the eSIM? Kwame Nai.
The SIM allows a network to be able to identify the characteristics which are unique to one user, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that if you are placing a phone call, or you are sending an SMS, or you are buying airtime, or performing any of the other telco functions, they can know who you are. Now, in the past, it has been an actual SIM card, right, like a physical, you know, card which you have to insert in either the telephone booth or a smartphone. So an eSIM essentially is the next level from the physical, you know, SIM cards that we have been inserting in our mobile phones. So the eSIM is basically a small chip which is embedded inside your smartphone from the manufacturer, which enables on the fly SIM provisioning and identification.
Right. So guys, all that Kwame Nai said in High Valerian is that it's just a device in your phone which allows you to swap out network profiles on the go. At will.
I'm giving an MIT definition.
on the fly. On the flim. Okay. So this as Kwame Nai said, is the next level when it comes to network technologies, which allows you to have your network profiles, like they are embedded in not just your smartphones, but as Kwame Nai stressed on, but watches, laptops, and even your cars. There are some cars which allow you to have your eSIM embedded inside the car, like very useful for calls and stuff like that. And I in particular, I would say I was not really conversant with the technology until I watched the iPhone 14 review when they said that the US version of the iPhone 14 was going to be entirely eSIM. I was like, what at all? I've heard this eSIM.
Yeah.
What is it? Fast forward, now in Ghana, the service is, or the technology is now available with MTN. I don't know if MTN did it first, but I think they were.
So unofficially, I can say for a fact that MTN did it first, but officially, Airtel Tigo was the first.
So yes. How come it's only MTN's one that I've heard of?
So I think out of the three top telecommunications companies in Ghana, MTN and Airtel Tigo actually provide that service.
Okay, so which of the two do you use?
So I currently use the one from MTN.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just MTN.
Yeah, just MTN.
Just MTN.
I don't have an Airtel Tigo service.
I have an Airtel Tigo SIM, but for some funny reason, I've not been able to go and secure the eSIM yet. But from what other people have told me, they simply walked into an Airtel Tigo office and then was provided to them like right on that day, like almost instantaneously. I'm bringing this up because I want us to discuss next how to procure an eSIM from your network provider. So as we said early on, this is like a chip in your device which allows you to swap out network profiles. So all that you need to do is to contact your service provider or the intended service which you want to use, and then they'll provide you with a profile which is usually in the form of a QR code which you have to scan, and then your phone will download the profile for that particular network onto your eSIM. What this also means is that you can download, I think, as many as you want.
Yes, so I know that for the iPhone, you can have about 8 profiles.
You can have about 8 profiles.
But only 2 will be active at a time. So, so you may have a profile from MTN Ghana, maybe from Orange in, I don't know, Cote d'Ivoire, from AT&T in the US, and it's all on just one phone. You don't have to be taking SIM cards out. So the moment you arrive in Ivory Coast, you just maybe turn off AT&T and then turn on Orange.
Orange.
If you go to the Americas, then you can turn on AT&T and then turn off, you know, the ones that you do not have. So it comes with a lot of convenience and a lot of ease. And I also think that in the same light as companies heralding the environment and sustainability, assuming there's 100% adoption of eSIMs, that means that companies wouldn't have to actually print out physical SIM cards, which would, you know, which have just one use, and it's basically waste.
Okay, that's great. So with my experience with MTN, I think when they made the service available, I applied for it through the MTN app. So if you want the MTN eSIM for yourself, you'd have to apply on their web portal or simply through the MTN app on your phone. You ask a few questions, you provide certain information that they'll require of you, and then you are good to go. But the first step in all of this is to actually find out if your device is eSIM compatible. Kwamina, how did you know that your iPhone was eSIM compatible?
All right, so to check if your iPhone is eSIM compatible, simply go to your dialer and dial *#06#. It's going to pop up the device info, you know, information, device info information, because it's actually titled device info. If you see IMEI2, chances are you actually have the eSIM embedded
in your phone. And I think it's the same for Android devices, because I also checked on mine, and glory hallelujah, my phone was eSIM compatible. So I applied for the eSIM from MTN, and it took a while because I think demand for the service is quite high right now, and it will take a while for customer service to get back to you on your eSIM. But when they eventually did, they mailed me the network profile. I basically had to scan it, download, and I was good to go. So what advantage did that present to me? I was just able to take out my physical MTN SIM and forget about it. And my Airtel Tigo SIM is what is inside my Google Pixel 5 right now, with my MTN being the eSIM. So I have 2 SIMs now. I'd always missed dual SIM phones. I mean, haven't you?
Yeah, because I remember I needed to get a secondary phone, and I really wanted a Pixel, but I had to go with a OnePlus because it's afforded me, you know, dual SIM capabilities. So now with eSIM, there's a lot more flexibility. Funny thing is that the eSIM has been on the iPhone since, I think, iPhone XR or so.
Yes.
So it's been a very long time, but up until, you know, Apple decided to push the SIMs, many countries and companies were a little slow in adopting it.
Okay, so it's like Apple is trying to
once again hold the world by the neck.
After eliminating the headphone jack.
Yeah.
I don't even think they were the first to do it, but I think
they were not the first to do it, but Apple has critical mass. So almost anything Apple does just becomes, oh my God, that's the next thing, because people rarely get into the wheat of the news, you know. So Apple has to just make a lot of noise about it.
Okay, yeah. So your OnePlus, you could take Dash Me now. Abi, now you have a phone with dual SIM. You have an iPhone with 2 SIMs. So,
sorry, what? All of a sudden, my
your ears. Hearing is
all of a sudden, I can't. What are ears? What is hearing?
Okay, all right. So, How advantageous has this been for you?
Okay, so for me, the advantage is now I can just carry one phone around, right? I don't need to carry two phones around. I can just carry one phone, and I have both SIMs working, even though there's only one, you know, SIM slot technically. The second thing is that I also don't have to do call forwarding. So initially what I had done was call forwarding, because, you know, carrying two phones is just a bit much. And what call forwarding essentially does is that, let's say I've done call forwarding on my Vodafone number because I'm using my MTN number more often. If somebody calls me on my Vodafone and it's forwarded to my MTN, it's almost as if my Vodafone has called my MTN. So I'm actually paying for it. So I'm saving costs on that because I no longer need call forwarding. And I don't have any anxiety because I've left maybe one phone home and somebody might have sent a text that is urgent and I don't need. Yeah, so I think these have been the
main advantages
for me.
For you. For me, it's the same. It's the same. And I'd like to also talk about the fact that, you know, early on you mentioned how you could have Orange from this country, this from that country in your phone. It's a very, very practical use for people who travel often. You can land in the UK and then you immediately load up your 3 network profile. You go to America, you just load up your AT&T profile. You go to, it's so practical. You don't need to hunt in the airport for traveler SIMs, which are usually quite expensive, and the onboarding experience is not smooth at all. Yes.
Yeah. Especially in Ghana, that you need a Ghana card to be able to have access to a SIM card. I mean, that's just ridiculous, but.
Yes. Yes. So it's very practical if you are a traveler. Also, for people with accessibility, I can see how this helps them. People who have, for example, palsy or muscular atrophy don't need to think of, you know, even me, I find that an annoyance, swapping out the SIM tray. By the way, do you still have your PIN? The SIM PIN?
Yeah, which came I with still your do phone? Have it, yeah.
You'll be very, very, I don't know what word to describe you well, but people who usually are able to keep that thing on another level of responsible and careful. Because I've lost
free husband advert.
DM me. I've gotten to the point where I basically ask a lady to lend me her earrings for a moment, so that I can swap out my SIM for another one. Those days are over. I'm not going to ask any lady again for her earrings. All I need to do is just go to my SIM settings on my phone and swap out my profile. Maybe.
Yeah. So if you just want to turn either the eSIM or the physical SIM off, it's just with a toggle.
Yeah. Just with a toggle inside. Yeah.
Taking things out and, you know.
Yeah. And this is very, very beneficial for people who are visually impaired, people who have problems with their motor functions.
Yeah.
They don't need to go through that fidgety hassle of trying to swap out, push out your SIM trays and all that.
And you're also saying it also reduces the need for SIM swaps or SIM replacements because you might have forgotten it. You know, these things have become so tiny that it's such a pain.
Do you know, I actually had a Vodafone SIM. I've lost it.
Yes, such a pain carrying them around, especially like Salam is saying, if you are traveling around very often, it's you would get to Las Vegas and you remember that, I left in Athens, and then now you have to, I don't know, deal with it.
Okay. We've talked about a few advantages. What about the disadvantages?
Yeah, so for me, the major disadvantage that I have faced, which has actually, you know, full disclosure, caused me to turn off my physical SIM most of the time, is that it has a very heavy impact on the battery. Right. Now you lose battery when the network signal is not very strong because it's very, you know, tasking on the processor. So now these odds are increased if you are dealing with two networks. So here in Ghana, where the network coverage is a bit choppy sometimes, dealing with one network's inefficiencies is enough pain for your battery. You add a second one to it and your battery is really going to, you know, get mad at you. So I realized that with my eSIM on and my physical SIM, you know, also on and active at the same time, my battery performs about an hour to an hour and a half worse than if I have just one of the SIMs on.
Yeah, for me, it's actually my battery now performs 2 hours worse than it used to.
That's a lot. That's yes. a lot. So for me, that's a major, that's a major drawback.
That is one cross you have to carry when you have both your eSIM and your physical SIM active in your phone. Yeah.
So what I do now is to just maybe keep one off most of the time. And if I need to quickly make a call or I need to quickly check if I've received some messages, then I just turn it on for about 5 to 10 minutes and then turn it back off again.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I don't have to take a SIM card out and in like, you know, we have described earlier.
Okay, what else have you noticed?
Apart from that, I haven't noticed any, you know, difference in call quality. I haven't noticed any difference in network reception. I haven't noticed any difference in SMS latency. It's the exact same.
It's the exact same thing.
There's no physical, you know, card in it.
Okay, so let me cover a few of the things I think are disadvantageous. For one, the technology right now, although it's being used, it's not accessible to all. A large majority of Android users will miss out on this for a while. Unless you are someone who has enough money to splurge for a newer phone like the Galaxy S22 or S23, the S23, for example, which we talked about in season 6, episode 3, you're going to miss out on this technology for a while. iPhone users, I think, are a bit safe because from the iPhone XR upwards, have this. But in Ghana, for example, you are more likely to meet someone with an Android phone than with an iPhone. And that means the technology is still not accessible to a lot of people, like a whole lot of people. So it's going to be a select few who are going to be enjoying this. And this is kind of like, we put you in like an elite section of smartphone users.
Yeah, but the beauty of tech is that in just 1 year or two, things can change so much. Because I remember when we were moving from the micro SIM to the nano SIM, right? It was only some iPhones that had the nano SIM capabilities. But just in a matter of 3 years,
almost every phone coming out now have
their nano SIM slot. So, I mean, now it's being piloted. Apple started pushing the SIMs and networks in Ghana have actually responded much faster than I thought they would.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm expecting manufacturers to also respond in a similar way because when consumers tend to understand the importance of having such capabilities and the utility rises, of course, capitalism is going to respond to it. So I'm expecting this to be the norm in the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay. That what you actually talked about was one of my concerns because I felt that the world was not exactly ready for this yet, but Apple decided to push ahead by making iPhone 14s in the US like exclusively eSIM. So they're basically forcing this down our throats for us to swallow. And as you said, well, they're having the intended effect of other countries.
Yeah, because I wasn't expecting Ghana especially to respond this quickly
to eSIM technology.
At all.
Okay. So I also have a problem with, even though we talked about the onboarding experience early on, the onboarding experience here can have a few problems. The first one being the fact that if when they send you the QR code and you don't have access to Wi-Fi or data for that matter, you will have issues loading the profile onto your phone. Let's say I've traveled and I'm signing up for an eSIM service in a different country. If I don't have access to Wi-Fi or data, I'm getting it because I need access to data. And if I don't have already have access to Wi-Fi or data, I can't download the profile, or that scanning the QR code becomes a problem because you need to have access to like data. And I don't know, it's funny, like you need data to have access to that data.
Reminds me of what Thanos said, I use the stones to destroy the stones.
Yeah, so this is just a minor hassle, which
I think somehow
they'll find a way to iron out that crease later on. I also have security concerns with the same QR code. Assuming I can scan Kwame's QR code, I have access to his email.
Yeah.
Whilst he's away from his laptop, he's in the washroom, and I quickly go to his Gmail and then go to his inbox. I can quickly scan his QR code on his laptop, and I have access to Kwame's eSIM. So it means I have access to your mobile money. I have access to your phone number. I can scam people. You know that scam where people text you on WhatsApp and say, and pretend to
I'm stranded. Can you send me $200?
Yes, they pretend to someone else who you know and say they need a loan. For example, I think someone used the suit guy, Comma Clean,
really?
Yes. Oh, I don't know if you remember this. There was a time back where someone used this picture on WhatsApp and was messaging people and saying, this is a call, this youth guy. And then taking loans in his name.
Loans, not even asking for the money for free. Was
no, I'm over here. My card is not working. Can you send me so and so?
Can you believe it?
Can you send me so and so amount of money and I'll get it back to you. Now people can take this to a whole new level by actually scanning your eSIM profile, downloaded it onto their phones, and texting people with your actual number.
Yeah.
Yes, this is one security concern that someone can easily steal your eSIM profile if you are not very tight gripped on it.
I may need to do some more research into this, but I also think that it limits flexibility of moving from one device to the other quite easily, right? Because for example, if I need to transfer my eSIM from my iPhone to, let's say, a Pixel 7, I don't know if there's a very easy way of just, you know, swapping it out. Like how I would have just taken my SIM card and just like placed it in the phone. I may need to delete the profile here.
Yeah, I don't know if you
scan you and have then to ask the company to do the provisioning. Yeah, so okay. I think it's a lot of steps just transitioning from one device to the other.
Yeah, I think that is true. I don't know exactly how you're going to, whether you can simply turn it off on this phone and scan it onto another phone or you need to erase it. I think MTM or SLT Go or anyone with the know-how on this issue might have to provide answers for us later on. And so the other thing which I'd like to talk about, which is not exactly a con per se, but you know how we talked about the eSIM profile being easily stolen. I also believe that with that same feature, it actually increases the security on your device.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. iPhone, I don't even use an iPhone, but I know with iPhones, Find My Phone can help you locate your iPhone. Now, assuming that you have an eSIM profile in that same iPhone, it becomes twice as easier to secure your iPhone even when it's stolen, because you have network information which is stored on the phone, and with the help of your service provider, whoever steals the phone cannot simply open the phone and throw away your SIM card.
Yeah.
Yes, it is embedded in the phone now. So with the aid of your network service provider, you even have a better chance at retrieving your stolen device. And I think this is also a good thing. All right. So early on, we talked about how this technology actually benefited travelers, and it has actually opened up a market of international companies who are solely dedicated to providing eSIMs in several different countries. I think in December, there was a company called AfroSIM, which was providing eSIMs to people who came to come and, you know, dirty themselves in Ghana's mall, and go and talk about it on Twitter later on. There are several other companies like that which provide services all around the world. But to prevent you from going down that rabbit hole of searching for the best one, we've already gone down it ourselves. So we have like four picks which we recommend to you to go and try out if you are someone who travels often. So you can check out Airlo, which is AIROLO. And this is an eSIM company which has reach in over 165 countries. They have very, very good deals when it comes to data. So the only thing is that they only provide data. They don't actually provide that option for you to make and receive calls. But I think once you have access to data, internet connectivity on your device, voice over IP for calls should be enough for you to circumvent that. So Airlo, we have Numero, which also provides the virtual numbers as well as eSIM numbers. BNE is also another very great service. And then we have Dent. Dent is actually the most unique of these companies, because their eSIM technology is actually blockchain based. I don't know exactly how they managed to achieve that and the inner workings of it all, but all I know is that it works just like the others. And because of that, they actually have their own coin with which you can buy data bundles on their network. So you can actually buy regional bundles. Let's say you can buy a bundle for Europe and use your eSIM in all of Europe without having to think of country to country differences or constraints. You can also buy country specific bundles on Dent, and this service is also quite terrific. So I'd like to add that all the services I talked about right now are easily accessible in your Apple, in your App Store or your Google Play Store. Just search up any of them and then do. You can download the app and follow the onboarding process to get access to your eSIM from any of these service providers in any country you're going to. So if you have been listening to this podcast, Kwamina and I have been going on and on about our experience with eSIMs, which are basically devices embedded in your right hand, which allow you to buy and say,
that's 666.
That's the mark of the beast. Yes. Basically embedded in your smartphone, which allow you to, in his own words, swap out your, what did you say? You said something about provisioning on the fly.
I don't remember.
You don't remember, yeah.
I don't recall.
Yeah, you don't recall. Swap out network profiles on the fly. If you've had, if you are yet to secure your eSIM, I think we provided steps on doing this early on with Airtel Tigo. I think it's as simple as going to their shops and it will be done for you almost instantaneously. MTN is the more slightly problematic of the two, but my experience with it so far has been worthwhile. It works exactly like my physical SIM. I don't need to bother about the whereabouts of my physical SIM anymore. I have access to all my services, mobile money, bundles, mashups, MTN Zone, what have you. It's just the same thing. So on to the next episode. We hope you enjoy this one. Subscribe to us in your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to us. You can leave us a review. It's very important to us. And also, you can interact with us on social media at Digital Dash on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll catch you in the next one. So from Kwamina and I,
peace.
Peace out.